So welcome to Local News and Features. We are in batch number one. It's Update Talking News Stoke for October the 25th. I can't believe where the time's gone. Before we know it's going to be Halloween and then bonfire night, and then you know what it is after that. Yes, it's the FP, I call it, which is the festive period.
Oh, wow.
Grim.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't escape it. You walk into the like shops now and you're bombarded with choices, choices, choices. Anyway, we've got local news. So we have four news stories for you in batch number one. We have Uta and Kath for you kicking everything off in this edition. And we're going to have two headlines from Uta and then two from Kath. So over to Uta.
Well, I start off with 20 years ago today, Hanley Tesco public inquiry that changed city centre forever, and then a ban for a five-year dog ban for a mum who left her dog to die.
And Kath's story headlines?
In keeping with the Halloween mention, I braved Alton Towers Scarefest's newest scare maze compound. Here's my verdict. And when Stoke-on-Trent Pub Syndicate won 99k on the lotto.
Okay, so I'll let Kath have a nibble on a biscuit and a bit of tea, and Uta will read the first story for us.
Okay, I'll start off. It was 20 years ago today when Tesco has It was 20 years ago today when Tesco was hauled before a public inquiry over its plans to build a giant city centre supermarket. Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott ordered the public inquiry after Tesco had council plans approved to build a bigger and better store off Clough Street and shut its then supermarket on New Hall Street. Key to the entire development was completing the missing golden half-mile dual carriageway of Potteries Way. The store would also create 300 new jobs on top of 170 employees transferring from the old store. Patrick Clarkson, QC, representing Tesco, told the inquiry, "Tesco recognises that the existing store is providing a less than adequate service to shoppers and is losing out on competition from out-of-centre stores. They have tried to upgrade it to modern standards, but the constraints of location, layout and structure are overwhelming. Tesco had wanted to build on the Clough Street side since 1998. John Francis told the inquiry, "The new Tesco store would attract shopping trips that are currently directed elsewhere, meaning additional shoppers would be attracted to the city centre. In time, this will encourage retailers not currently represented in Hanley to come to the city. The plan is for a large modern convenience store. What we are trying to offer is what Hanley needs and hasn't got. The development will allow it to fulfil its true potential as the number one centre in Stoke-on-Trent." So, the inquiry was assured that Hanley Sainsbury's on nearby Etruria Road would not close as a result of the increased competition from a bigger and better Hanley Tesco. Hanley Sainsbury's has since closed. Mr. Francis added, "Sainsbury's stores in Stoke and Hanley don't trade very well for various reasons, but they do attract certain types of shoppers who are loyal to certain brands. The fact that the store is still open shows that the company will be reluctant to see it close. None of the main food operators are here opposing us, and in my experience, that is quite telling." The inquiry heard that Stoke-on-Trent City Council had wanted to extend Potteries Way between Broad Street and Etruria Road for years. So Peter Scallon, Associate Director of Marshall Parkman, said, "The Link Road has been a long-term aspiration for the council. It will improve traffic flow by directing traffic away from the city centre. The government sanctioned the new Hanley Tesco store in May 2005. And experts predicted it would be a catalyst to cut city centre congestion and attract new investment. It was the new road that would create up to 2,000 jobs, with suggestions to pedestrianise Stafford Street, Old Hall Street and Albion Square." Hanley Chamber of Trade Chairman Richard Day said, "This is fantastic news and signals the start of the regeneration of the city centre. I'm also delighted that it will provide the opportunity to finish Hanley's Golden Half Mile, which is great news in terms of transport. North Staffordshire Chamber of Commerce and Industry Chief Executive Brian Carnes added, "The Chamber welcomes the good news. I am pleased that permission has been given and hope constructions begin soon. The new development is good news for businesses, visitors to the region and shoppers. It will provide improved transport links. It is, however, disappointing that the development was delayed for so long, which is an indictment of the planning system. It was then that Tesco started buying up land on Etruria Road as part of the Potteries Way project. It left a number of businesses in limbo, including Hauliers, D. Red and Son, car sales firm Point to Point, and motorcycle business Bikers, which all discovered they suddenly had a new landlord. The Sunday market would also be moved from Clough Street to Hind Street. Textiles trader Rob Gallimore said, "When we go to the new site, it will be a bit better for car parking. If people park for free at the supermarket and then walk up to the market, then it could help us that way. Only time will tell. I won't be sad to leave Clough Street. It's onwards and upwards. Delays in building the new Tesco and extending Potteries Way were blamed for the liquidation of High Peak Leisure in 2009. Company Secretary Jane Price branded that area of Hanley is a bomb site. She said when the council starts regeneration schemes, it would think about the businesses already there and how it's going to affect them. This project has decimated the whole south side of Hanley. I know other businesses are struggling too. When we did have a meeting with the council, one officer sat in my office and said they were prepared for short-term losses of businesses for their long-term regeneration goals. Well, Rockerman's Furniture Shop on Clough Street was another business feeling the pinch. It has since closed. Its general manager, Pat Dorr, told the Sentinel, "It's dreadful. I just wish the council would pull its finger out and get something done. At the moment, there's no need for people to actually come down Clough Street. At least if Tesco was up and running, we'd get passing trade." The wrangling over land then led to a second public inquiry in 2009. It emerged that Tesco had bought and cleared 97% of the 29.3-acre site, but 14 remaining pockets of land remained outstanding. The public inquiry was eventually resolved in the autumn of 2009. Building work on the Tesco store and Potteries Way extension began in January 2010 with a new supermarket and Link Road opening later that year. And the new Hall Street store had shut just days earlier. It later became Go Outdoors and a charity shop opens there on Monday the 14th of October. Pass it on to you, Kath.
Okay. I braved Alton Towers Scarefest's newest scare maze compound. Here's my verdict. Scarefest is on most people's minds when it comes to celebrating Halloween, and I was invited to try out Alton Towers' newest scare maze compound. It is based on the story of Nemesis Reborn, which replaced the original Nemesis roller coaster in March this year. Visitors are the subject of the Phalanx, a shady organisation originally tasked with keeping the Nemesis Beast under control, but there has been a breach, which is what the live actors were shouting whilst wearing boiler suits with gas masks and armed with military-style gear. They were searching guests and keeping the queue entertained whilst nervously waiting to go inside. The experience was amazing, and unlike other scare mazes I've entered before, the actors, some of whom seem to have taser props making terrifying electrocution sounds, can touch you. There are also strange-looking creatures that I'll probably see again in my sleep. They look slimy and reptile-like, with a mouth that I can only compare to a leech or the Demogorgon from Stranger Things. The compound was scary. There were lots of strobes and the actors jumped out from nowhere. There were lots of jump frights and it was quite claustrophobic as guests must crawl through a downhill tunnel. It's definitely not one for the faint-hearted. The scare maze was truly lots of fun. It is described as an intense and disorientating scare attraction, and I would say it certainly lived up to its reputation. There are hallways and chambers inside a laboratory, and guests are part of a sinister sci-fi experiment where their DNA is set to become the next weapon. I screamed a lot because I'm a wimp when it comes to jump frights, but I absolutely loved every second of it, and I'd definitely have another go. Compound was my stepdad's first ever scare maze experience, and he thought it was fantastic. He might not have screamed like I did, but it definitely impressed him and left him excited to try the other mazes, which include Daz Games, Panic Reloaded, Burial Grounds, Altonville Mine Tours, Tiny's Revenge, and the Attic Terror of the Towers. Aside from the terrifying scare maze, this was my first time riding roller coasters in the dark, and I really enjoyed it. I'd expected the experience to be much more thrilling and scary, so to speak, but surprisingly, I found it much more relaxing because you could see the stars. And not being able to see the track or obstacles around, such as the rocks and the river below Nemesis Reborn, felt like a much shorter ride, and also much less intimidating. The only exception to this, in my opinion, is the Wicker Man, that was absolutely brilliant in the dark because of the wooden structure and glowing orange light from the flames.
Right, here's the 5-year dog ban for the mum who left Kodak, which is not the film but a dog, to starve to death. Cash-strapped single mum Stacey Rogers left her pet dog to starve to death because she could not afford to go to the vets. Kodak was discovered dead in an outbuilding in January. Now the 24-year-old has been banned from having dogs for 5 years but can keep her pet cat. Prosecutor Joe Fox told North Staffordshire Justice Centre, "The case relates to the death of a dog. It had a poor body condition consistent with emaciation. No trauma or disease was evident. The dog was initially thought to have had a neck wound, but it would seem that the dog starved to death and was found in an outbuilding. There are photographs of the unkept state of the premises and the condition the dog was kept in." Rogers of Allendale Walk, Blurton, pleaded guilty to causing unnecessary suffering to a protected animal. She was also handed an 18-week prison sentence, suspended for 12 months. Karen Wright, mitigating, said, "Kodak was found emaciated with ulcers. In August 2023, the defendant's cat had a litter of kittens. The cat was very protective towards the kittens and it caused issues when the dog food was put down. There were issues with the cat scratching or attacking the dog. Eventually, the dog did stop eating. On January 3, they found the dog had unfortunately died. The address had deteriorated because of the defendant's mental health issues. However, she tells me a lot of work has been done at the address. There were no doors, as somebody previously had punched all the doors. The council has put the doors back on. It has been decorated and cleaned up. She loved the dog and she did try other family members to see if they could keep the dog, but because they all had animals, they were not able to take Kodak. She is on benefits. She could not afford to take the dog to the vets because of the cost. In hindsight, she could have taken it to the PDSA, but in her fragile state of mind, she was not thinking straight." The court heard Rogers has no previous convictions. Ms. Wright added, "She is remorseful. During a time when her mental health was at the lowest, she neglected the dog. She did not really focus on the needs of the dog and she needs help rather than custody. She suspended prison sentence includes, or the suspended prison sentence includes a 30-day rehabilitation activity requirement. She must pay £85 cost and a £154 surcharge." Over to you.
So, when Stoke-on-Trent Pub Syndicate won £99k on the lotto. One of Stoke-on-Trent's most iconic pubs is on the market, the Vine Inn on Naylor Street in Pitts Hill, shut for good during the coronavirus pandemic and is now going up for auction with a guide price of £25,000. It follows the death of legendary landlord Sid Alcock, who ran the venue with Sister Ida for decades. Before that, Sid had spent 42 years at Chatterley Whitfield Colliery and Ida had worked on pot banks. It was back in November 2004 when 38 regulars, including Sid's dog Jake, won a share of £99,867 on the lotto. The syndicate had managed to match five numbers and the bonus ball. Sid told the Sentinel at the time, "I always check the numbers on a Saturday night and couldn't believe my luck when I saw we had five numbers. So I went into the bar to tell everyone the news. When I went back to check the numbers again, I saw we had got the bonus ball as well. I told everyone I had made a mistake and they all groaned until they found out it was a mistake for the better. Then they were over the moon. We set up the syndicate 10 years ago and then played with £1 a time. And there were only 20 of us. That has now grown to 38 people who all drink in the pub regularly and the dog Jake. And we also have had about 10 smaller wins over the years, but nothing like this. Ida planned to spend her share of the winnings on new floors in the pub. She said, "It is absolutely marvellous to win this money. We are having a big party on Friday night to celebrate. The nice thing is that a lot of our regulars are pensioners and they are really chuffed. People have been telling me they are having new televisions, dishwashers and holidays. And it's such a nice time of year for this to happen. Gordon Meir and Lynn Roberts were able to bring their wedding forward after getting engaged just 8 weeks earlier. Gordon said, "It felt brilliant when I heard we had won. I told my girlfriend straight away and it means we can get married next August now and hopefully have a nice honeymoon." Other winners were purchasing items for around the house or going abroad. Gordon Baskerfield, age 53 of Pitts Hill, said, "I'm going to spend my money on a few jobs in the house like having new carpets." Cynthia Moran and husband John of Packmore plan to escape the British weather in favour of the Mediterranean. Mrs. Moran said, "We are going away for some winter sun and we've just had a lovely new kitchen, so it can go towards that as well." And Don Jones, age 70 of Chell Heath, added, "This will come in handy for the kids at Christmas and I might have a new television."
Wonderful stuff. Well, that's it for batch number one. Keep listening. Got more news stories for you coming up with Kath and Uta in batch number two.